Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm Campbell. It's great to have you with us today. Today we are studying day three of our career article for the month of September. Now, over the past 2 days, we've been discussing different things that will help you to do a better job in your career. Day one was about how to motivate yourself and others. Day two was about collaboration and the new way to work in teams. Now today we're talking about steps to a rewarding career, and we have a lot to talk about, so let's get started by introducing our guests for today. We have Serena here. Serena, how are you doing?
I'm great. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. You've had a lot of great insight to share with us. And we also have Brendan here. Brendan, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Now, Brendan is a recent college graduate, so he is stepping into this world of careers and jobs. So it's really interesting to hear what you have and have to say and the different things that the perspectives that you have. So we look forward to hearing more from you. So today, as I said earlier, we're talking about getting a more rewarding career. And we're talking about finding jobs that you actually find meaning in, right? And it kind of connects back to day one. When you have meaning and you're optimally motivated, it's easier to do a good job.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And I think that is something that we all really, really can connect to, that sort of idea that we're working for something that maybe is sort of more than ourselves or something that we can really get behind. We work much better on that as opposed to just, I need to do this to pay the bills.
Right, exactly. So let's get into our article today. We are on page 40. So if you have your advanced magazine, please do open to page 40, or you can join us on your mobile device.
Three steps to a rewarding career. You see the saying, do what you love, love what you do. Yet some people never feel compelled to find work that they love or work that gives meaning to their lives. When it comes to work, it is much easier to focus on earning a paycheck to feed, clothe, and provide housing for yourself and your family than it is to examine your purpose and passion, says Julie Jansen, an executive career coach in Stamford, Connecticut, and author of the new book, I Don't Know What I Want, But I Know It's Not This, a step-by-step guide to finding gratifying work. Jansen has come up with a three-part process to help individuals find more rewarding jobs or careers. One thing is certain, to find meaning, you need to be able to question the nature and purpose of the work you are doing now, she says.
So we start our article off with the saying, do what you love and love what you do. What do you guys think about this phrase?
You know, I definitely agree with it. I think you should do what you love. But a lot of times, in certain situations, maybe it's not always possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we look at all the things that are man-made on this earth.
Right.
And that's a result of work. And I don't think necessarily they liked physically doing that work,
right,
but it gave them a roof over the head, mm-hmm, it gave them food, and it gave them money to provide for their family, even mm-hmm though they didn't love what they were doing.
Right.
But, you know, it gave them, they were able to survive.
Right. Yeah. Brendan?
I think that I would like to believe, I should say, that it is possible to make money doing what you love, but I also understand that it is a huge risk doing that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of people now, like artists or musicians, or, you know, they definitely love what they do. But when they're first starting off, it can be really scary. They have to work at coffee shops or doing something to pay bills over their head just so that they can get enough momentum behind their actual artwork or music career or video career, mm-hmm, or any really creative a creative job or creative endeavor.
Right.
You know, so it's definitely, I think, possible to say, to love what you do and to succeed. I also, however, think that it's a lot more difficult.
Right. I think you guys both touched on a point, which is the idea that, you know, I think it's important to pursue your passion and to do what you love to do. But sometimes in the process of that, you need to take something and do something where you're not maybe as passionate in order to pay the bills.
Right.
I think there's this kind of misconception or this myth in this world that, you know, you just go after your dreams and you just forget about responsibility, you know, and you just forget about paying the bills and you just kind of depend on other people. And maybe that's not always the best, you know, and I think sometimes a lot of us spend a lot of time pursuing dreams and feeling like, oh, that's not necessarily what I love to do, and so I'm not going to do it, you know. But the thing then is, okay, you got to pay the bills, right? You got to make ends meet. And sometimes in the process of doing that job that pays the bills, you find what you're good at. And it's a good training ground for you as well, right? So today, yes, we are encouraging you to find what you love and to find passion in your work and not just to settle. But we need to also balance that with, you know, also sometimes you just need to take a job that maybe you don't feel is so optimal, you
right.
know? And sometimes when you do that, you realize, hey, I love this. I love this job that at first I didn't think I would like.
Right, right.
So we do have this phrase, do what you love, love what you do. And it does kind of remind me of another phrase that I heard, and it says, you know, find out what you love and do it. And if you can get paid to do what you love, then you'll never have to work a day in your life. Because the idea is when you do something that you love, it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember some people know I love theater and I love performing. And I remember a few years ago, I had the opportunity to be a part of a musical. And we would rehearse for 10 hours a day.
Wow.
You know, 10 hours a day dancing, singing, you know, acting and putting together the stage and all that stuff and figuring out where to stand and all that stuff. 10 hours. And that's a long time, you know. But I didn't feel like I was working at all. You know, I was just having fun. I mean, we were just dancing and we were just having a good time. I was learning choreography, learning singing and learning lines. And I was getting to perform. And it just didn't feel like work at all.
Yeah.
And so that phrase, you know, find what you love and do it. And if you can get paid to do it, then you never have to work a day in your life. It just came to life for me.
Right.
And the thing is, though, here in line two, it says some people never feel compelled to find work that they love or work that gives meaning to their lives. And I think that's true. You know, I think some people do settle. And, you know, we did start off the program saying you do sometimes need to do that. But I'm not telling you to settle, but I am telling you sometimes you do need to take a job that maybe is not as exciting for the purpose of allowing you to pursue your dreams.
Right. That kind of reminds me, you know, I lived in Korea for almost 9 years. And at one point I worked at a visual effects company for 1 year, and you know, I know nothing about visual effects, or I'm not a high-tech kind of girl, but as time went on, I started getting more interesting, and I was learning all these different kinds of softwares and how you make, you know, animation and visual effects. So, and I actually like started enjoying going to work because I wanted to learn about these things.
So in the process of doing something that you had no background in, you found
I surprised myself.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, sometimes people do settle, right? And that's what we're talking about here in this next paragraph. It says, when it comes to work, it's much easier to focus on earning a paycheck to feed, clothe, and provide housing for yourself and your family than it is to examine your purpose and passion. And Brendan, you touched on this a little bit. It can be scary, right, to go after your passion.
It is. It can be a big risk. There are a number of people who basically went out of their way. They took a risk and they said, I'm going to try to make it on YouTube. What they would do is the way they would make money off of this is they would create a lot of content and they would constantly get better with their content, be it short films, funny gaming videos, it doesn't matter what. And as they kept working at this, eventually they would quit their day jobs and then they would dive full time into this. And they're able to actually sustain themselves off of the ad revenue that they get by being partnered with YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a huge risk for them to take. And those risks sometimes can be very scary.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, I want to encourage everybody. Yes, you need to pay the bills and you need to do what you need to do to get the money, the food on the table, you know, definitely. But at the same time, you know, do what you love. Find a way to make that happen, right? Mm-hmm. And to pursue your passion. Don't just settle, right? And this is kind of what Julie Jansen is saying, and she's the executive career coach in Stamford, Connecticut, and she's the author of a new book, and I love the title, I Don't Know What I Want, But I Know It's Not This, right? A Step-by-Step Guide to Finding Gratifying Work. And I feel like with women, sorry, Serena, a lot of times women have this, right? I talk to my wife, and I'm like, what do you want for dinner? I don't know, whatever you want. And I'm like, how about pizza? No, I don't want that. How about hamburgers? No, I don't want that. Okay, but you just said whatever you want. Yeah, but I don't want that.
It's like I heard, like, when two people love each other, nothing can stop them except figuring out what to eat.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, I think it makes sense. You know, sometimes we don't know what we want, but we do know what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But how can we find more gratifying work and find more satisfaction in our work? Well, she came up with a 3-part process to help us find more rewarding jobs or careers. And one thing is for certain, to find meaning, you need to be able to question the nature and purpose of the work you are doing now. So are you willing to take a look at your work? And are you willing to think, is this getting me to where I want to go? Is this something that I am passionate about? You know, all of us have a very short time on this earth. Are we fulfilling our purposes? Are we doing and using our time to the best that we can? Well, let's take a look at these 3 steps. We're going to take them one at a time. All right, so our first step is on page 40 on line 23. Let's begin.
Step 1. Complete a self-assessment. Jansen suggests taking an introspective inventory of personal values, interests, attitudes, and skills. The point is to understand your strengths and how these lead to a meaningful career. Take note of what is important in your career and in your personal life. Of course, meaning looks different for everyone. One person might want to telecommute to spend more quality time with the family, while another might want to group with a particular group of people.
All right, so what is step 1, Brendan?
Taking an introspective inventory of personal values, interests, attitudes, and skills.
Very good. What does that mean?
I think it means just looking into yourself and trying to figure out what is important to you, what motivates you, what really, I guess, gets you up every day,
mm-hmm.
and trying to figure out if what you're doing right now is a part of that. The word introspective, we can read, says, or means, I should say, examining and considering your own ideas, thoughts, and feelings instead of talking to other people about them. So rather than just sharing it, you're sort of looking at yourself and examining yourself.
Right, so doing kind of a self-evaluation or a self-assessment, as we have this title here, right? So kind of taking a look at yourself, your thoughts, and the things that you value. This kind of reminds me of what we were talking about in day 1, right? When we talked about learning how to motivate and finding people, helping people to get optimal motivation, talking to them about, you know, what are different projects that you've done that you liked best, or what is it that you love most about your job, or what energizes you? You know, it's kind of along the same lines, right? Mm-hmm. And so taking a look at your personal values, like for me, personal value of mine is family time, you know, and also I need to feel like I'm making a contribution to this world, right. And I like to be positive, right? And I like to give positive messages and helping people to think more about their lives and inspiring people to improve, right? These are things that are important to me, right? And in terms of interests, I love to sing, I love to perform, I love to talk, I love to just interact with people, right? Those are my interests. And attitudes, well, you know, like I said, being positive and being thankful and being able to share more about love and helping people to connect more with one another rather than break down, and helping people to have more of a positive outlook on their own lives, right? And not to think so negatively,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. And helping people to understand that, you know, you do have power. You can take control over your life. You don't have to be, a backseat driver. You don't have to be a victim. You know, mm-hmm. You are powerful to make choices. You can make a difference. And skills, well, you know, I have different abilities, right? So I kind of went through a self-assessment, and I would encourage all of you to do that as well, to go through that. What are some of the things that you're good at? What are the things that are important to you? What are some of your interests? And then you can figure out where to go from there, right? And mm-hmm. So Jansen says here, the point is to understand what is the point of the self-assessment here?
To understand your strengths and how these lead to a meaningful career. So I think it's important that when you go into a workplace, not everyone is going to have the same strengths. Like Campbell can sing. He's great at singing. Me? I'm terrible at it, you know? But it's important not to compare and just to all like work together with all the abilities that we have.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think part of that is also kind of knowing what you don't like, right? And knowing what you're not good at and being real about that as well. And not going after something that maybe you're not as strong in.
Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people, you know, they have certain expectations about you, and that can kind of make you feel a little intimidated. But, you know, as humans, we have to learn that to lower our expectations. And, you know, just like we all have different strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. I find that I am my own worst critic. Mm-hmm. That's sort of a thing that happens a lot with artists, is that we will do something, other people look at it and say, oh, look at that, that was really good, and we'll stare at it and go, right. I hate it.
Right.
It was awful.
I understand.
And, yeah. And the thing is I also have this problem of comparing myself to other people who are better than me because they've been doing it longer.
Right.
And rather than beating myself up look at this guy, you know, he's the same age as me, but he's a better singer or something. He's been studying that. That was his major. I was a film major. I have my own strengths.
Right.
You know, so I need to, and also, I'm still learning. You're going to be learning throughout your entire life. Just accept where you are, look to where you want to go,
right.
And realize that that's going to take some time, and just work at it.
Mm-hmm.
Good right. words.
Yeah. I was in a seminar once, and the guy said, what are some of your dreams? You know, and then he had us think about them. And he said, how many of you have actually achieved your dreams? And there are a few people that raised their hands. And then he said, well, what about the rest of you? And he said, well, I hate to tell you, but the reason you haven't achieved your dreams is because you don't really want to.
Wow.
And that just hit me on the head. You know, I was just like, what? No, it's because there haven't been opportunities or whatever. And then I had to take a step back and really evaluate. And I realized, yeah, you know, I think a lot of us need to take responsibility for our lives and realize that you're not where you want to be because you just haven't done what you needed to do to get there.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times it's because it's not as important to you as other things.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that, because that really speaks to sort of the next two steps,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we'll find out are figuring out if there are barriers and creating a plan to overcome them. So.
That's right. So let's get into that. Let's take a look at step two.
Step two, identify obstacles and barriers. Think about what may keep you from pursuing a different kind of occupation, whether it is age, money, time, education, or lack of experience. Then, figure out how to overcome those barriers.
I think this is very important in terms of figuring out where you want to go. You need to figure out what's keeping you from getting there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then figure out how to get over it.
Right.
Again, as we've been saying, everybody has the power and the ability to take control of your life and stop waiting for other people to do it for you.
Right.
I think a lot of us spend time waiting for, well, if my boss would just give me this chance, or if I could just get an opportunity or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Step out there. Figure out what it is that is keeping you from getting where you want to go and do something about it.
That kind of reminds me, you know, I used to go to the gym all the time. I was very motivated to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of times people get like a busy schedule
right.
and they just kind of make an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's okay. I want to do it, but I'll just stay home because
right.
I worked, you know, all day. I don't feel
right.
like doing it.
Yeah.
So it is really about motivation and really doing and go after what you want.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this goes back to what the article was saying earlier about meaning. Because for me, I stopped going to the gym because I felt like it was taking time away from my kids. You know,
right.
and so naturally, when I stopped going to the gym, my body shape changed. And I just kind of accepted it because, well, you know, I stopped doing the work. And I wasn't like kind of being like, oh, well, you know, my kids. I'm not blaming my kids. I'm just like, no, that's my choice.
Right.
You know? So what is it that's keeping you from getting to your goals, right? Figure out what that is and then figure out how you can overcome those barriers. Yeah. All right. So let's go to step 3, create an action plan.
Step 3, create an action plan. You must be very clear about what steps you need to take to revamp your career goals. Think about each and every step you need to take. Organize with short-term action steps and set very clear deadlines for when you will get each done. By putting your short-term goals on paper, you will feel more committed to doing what you have to do in order to create the meaning you are yearning for in your work. She says.
So, how do we create this action plan, Brandon?
Well, they say to create a bunch of short-term goals mm-hmm. and short-term action steps, it kind of makes sense. You know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
Right.
You know, you have this really huge thing in front of you, but it actually isn't as big as you think when you break it down into manageable steps that, sure, it might, you know, you might think, oh, this will take a while, but in reality, you weren't going to get the large project done in one day anyway.
Mm-hmm.
At least now you know, hey, I can make progress, and every time you check off one of those little goals, it, you know, it gives you a bit more motivation, or it gives you sort of, I'm not sure, sort of a raw, I completed something, go me.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
feeling.
I mean, the fact is that for any of us to do anything, we have to believe that it's possible. And when there's this huge goal ahead of us, we don't feel that it's possible. But when we can break it down into manageable steps, then we feel, hey, actually I can do this, right? And I think there's a very important point here. You need to set clear deadlines for when you will get each done. That is so important because what I like to say is that the goal is kind of your destination, right? But if you don't set a deadline for when you need to be at that destination, you're not going to know how fast you need to go or what you need to do and which kind of that time kind of gives you direction.
Right, or you may just put it off.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, for example, every morning we have to be here at 8:00, right? And we measure the distance between our home and our office and we know, okay, well, I need to be there at 8:00 and right now it's, you know, 7:55. So how do I get to work in 5 minutes? What's the fastest way to get there? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having that time, that deadline really kind of sets that goal for you. Without a deadline, you can kind of get lazy.
Yeah.
I think this also ties back to step 2 about overcoming barriers, because sometimes, you know, we do have a barrier that's outside of ourselves. You know, yes, we have the power, we have the motivation, you know, we have the ability to make change and push our career and change our lives, But there are outside obstacles that are in the way.
Right.
And if, you know, and if there is an obstacle there, you need to figure out, okay, how am I going to get around this?
Right.
So that in and of itself can be broken down into little action steps that you can use to either break through it or dissolve it and make it go away or find a way around it.
Right, for sure. And I'm not saying that there are no obstacles, so you're absolutely right. There are obstacles, but what I am saying is that, you know, some people see those obstacles and they're like waiting for someone else to do something about the obstacle.
Of course.
But what I mean is that you need to do something about those obstacles.
Right.
And if you need help, get that help and stop waiting for someone else to do it for you.
Right.
Of course.
And the last point here is to put your short-term goals on paper. And I think that is absolutely key. There's been studies about that. When people actually write down their goals, they end up being more successful, end up actually achieving those goals far more than those people that have goals and don't write them down. So we have a lot of thoughts here. We hope that what we've shared with you has given you some ideas of how you can enhance your career, maybe cause you to maybe have a career shift. Maybe this has motivated you to find something that you love to do rather than just doing something just to get by, right? We want you to thrive and not just to survive. So we hope that you've enjoyed our lessons. Please do write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com and remember to check out our QR code at the top of page 38. Thanks, friends. We hope that you have a great day. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.